welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook. I'm your host, as always, for episode 402. And I am joined by just such a wonderful group of gentlemen, like Mick Fraser.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm grand, mate. I was going to start then by saying something potentially inappropriate, but we'll save that until perhaps, you know, the YouTube has been monetized. And maybe we should save that for Adam Carroll. How are you, Ads?
I am wonderful, and I never say anything inappropriate.
Never?
Look, we all got to turn over a new leaf, don't we?
If he says it, it becomes appropriate. That's just how it works.
Okay. Well, someone who is very slowly, or actually very quickly, becoming the posh lad of God is a Geek, Christopher Hyde. How are you, Chris?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm great, mate. I would just want, should I introduce the gang to your new nickname? Because obviously Mick knows it. Oh my word, that face says you shut your fucking mouth right now or I'm going to cut you. We won't talk about posh. Chris's new nickname.
Yeah, that's what posh means where we come from, yeah. I'm going to cut you.
I'm going to cut, yeah. Yeah, I called him posh lad and then I'm saying he's going to threaten to slice my... Yeah, how are you, Chris? You good, mate? You're right. Sorry, I did just wait until you started taking a drink then before I started to speak.
It's good. I'm good, yeah. I'm just hot, but it's been hot, so yeah.
It's been outrageous. But just because we're a pod based in the British Isles, we should not spend too long talking about the weather. But we are going to change it up slightly this week because where we normally talk about games, we sort of can't because everyone's playing something they can't talk about. We will talk about The Last of Us again, and if you don't want to hear it, I mean, there's probably a button there that's stop. But you shouldn't press that. You should listen to it. We won't be spoiling it, but we are going to be doing a spoiler cast relatively soon. I think we've got three people who finished it now. I'm waiting for a fourth, maybe. Chris or Mick, you know, no pressure. If you could just play games in your spare time, that would be great.
Try and squeeze it in.
Yeah. Just, you know, it's only, what, 25, 30 hours? It'd be fine. But there's been a few reveals. Well, not reveals as such, more just there's been like a couple of little showcases because we're still in E3 season, or what is now becoming the protracted E3 month, where people are doing their own thing. We still have Ubisoft at some point doing a thing, but... Square Enix showed us a bit more of, what's it called? Just Marvel Avengers?
Is it just Marvel Avengers, I think, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah. That's definitely not going to be a complicated thing. Marvel's search Avengers. Engine, you know, that's going to be fine.
Straight off the bat, I think they're right to just call it this. Yeah. I'm going to say
Avengers Resemble. That's what they should call it.
Avengers Resemble.
I think that was my tagline, actually, when I wrote about it.
I'm taking that.
I think I used it already.
I don't care. I don't remember it. So I'll just be the one to say it. What I've seen of this game, I was like, probably not for me, even though I like the Avengers.
Agreed.
This was a good showing. Yeah. This was a really good showing because we know what this game is now. And looking at Mick Fraser, it's as though they designed the game to just inject directly into your... No, it's too early for that joke. Veins. Let's go for veins.
Yeah, let's inject it into my veins. Let's not go anywhere else.
Okay.
They did. I wasn't interested to begin with. I'd be honest.
no one was. Well, I don't think anyone was, if I'm honest with you.
Everybody had a problem with the plasticine faces. Like, you know that weird...
I still do. I'm going to say...
People have problems with games? Yeah. Wow.
I know, it's mad, isn't it? It happens.
Don't
what can you do?
Penis in a hornet's nest while it's covered in honey. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the saying?
Well, I took you.
Where do I stick it when it's covered in honey? I'm asking for a friend.
Sorry, I just really like the way Adam said penis. And it tickled me in a way that I shouldn't to a nearly 40-year-old man.
His penis tickled you, or...?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. We were in the same room. The decor's just different for those watching on YouTube. Mick, so I'm going to ask you a question. Yeah. It's probably an easy question to answer, mm-hmm. rather. Is Marvel Avengers 2020 PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PC, probably Stadia, unlikely Switch, just destiny for Avengers fans?
Looks like it. That's why I'm in. I wasn't to begin with, because like I said, like everybody, plasticine faces, we weren't happy with that, and I still have my reservations about them. But then I thought, well, you know what? I got used to Peter Parker's face in Marvel Spider-Man. That wasn't a big deal. As much as I love Tom Holland's face, you know, I got and Andrew Garfield's and Ned, but I got used to it, so I figure we'll get used to this. The reveal the other night was just, I thought, it's just loot and costumes and powers and unlocks. And
I don't want to be that guy, right? But there's, and I can't help fixating on this, and I feel like I'm playing devil's advocate, but I think I really do. It does bother me, right? So this game actually is now on my radar. I don't know about, you know, Chris and Adam, if it was before or if it is now, but why, when, because they showed all the skins and stuff, and that looks really cool as well, like really cool, and it seems like there's not going to be anything microtransaction-y about them. Why then do they, why didn't they take the opportunity to just change the character design so it doesn't look like a dime store version of Thor?
Yeah, I wish they'd done
just
that.
Don't get it. Why not just it,
they
do
are
what
such
is in
generic faces. It's so generic. It's so like Black Widow just looks like, and I hate to put it like this, but she just looks like some random woman off the street.
What's
just
the other character they showed? The one that I don't think they showed before? Before there was another
Kamala,
one.
Kamala Khan, what's her name?
The one with the big plasticky fists.
Yeah, yeah, Miss Marvel, yeah.
Okay, I didn't realise that was her because I caught the sort of stream a little bit way through. At one point, because of the sort of generic look of the characters, I wasn't sure if that was the same character. Like, yeah, the Miss Marvel and the... I wasn't sure if that was the same person.
The Tony Stark one just looks shocking. It just looks like some random carny dude who's just like...
Sort of Patrick Bateman style.
Yeah, it just looks like a college lecturer has just wandered in and... they've slapped an Iron Man costume on him. It's just not very good.
Hmm. Adam Carroll, yeah. big movie fan.
Adam Cook. Yes,
you
I am.
You look so unenthused about Marvel Avengers.
Yeah. like,
enough, really.
I'll be honest. I think the idea of this game is sound enough. I think for Avengers fans, I think this is like... Look, if you're a diehard Avengers fan, I think, is this not the way you'd want a game like... Do you know, to yeah. be? I think the perk system, all that jazz that they're bringing in, the Destiny kind of side of it, if we're going to call it that, I think it suits it well enough. For me, as somebody who... I'm not really an Avengers fan at all. I think what would sell me on this is if someone said to me, oh, it feels amazing... like the combat is just so addictive, it's so much fun, and all the looting and stuff like that, or if there is, or just getting the buffs and upgrades and suit stuff is all amazing. But for me, I don't think that's going to be the case regarding the equipment and stuff, because I think all that stuff is once again for the fans. Like, I can't see me just going, oh, brilliant, I got this suit, when it could probably mean everything to an Avengers fan, but to me, I'd be like, oh, that looks cool. So, like, it looks okay. Like it looks cool enough. Like, seeing Thor flying around the gaff, all that kind of jazz. That looks entertaining. But I don't know. It's right now, if that came out to tens and all that stuff, I'd be like, all right, I better give it a shot. Do you know? But right now, I'm...
It's not going to come out to tens. I'm going to predict that now. It's not coming out.
Yeah, and that to me is kind of like, it's a part of like video game development that I'm kind of just, I suppose it's a bit of a different topic, but I'm kind of like, I hate being able to predict that kind of thing. Like, yeah. It sucks because we haven't even touched it, and we already can personally feel that the game might come out to like probably eights. Maybe not.
Yeah, he's got a point.
And that's, I want to clarify straight off the bat, that is a great game.
Fine.
Like,
game.
That is a great game.
It's a fine game we haven't played yet, no, and no one
but,
has.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm only speaking solely for this game. Like, not every game has to be a 10 out of 10. It's just, for me, Avengers needs to get high scores for me, the non-Avengers fan, to play.
Chris Hyde. Yeah. Strange, the thing is, right, I get what Adam's saying and how Mick's agreeing it won't be probably not tens. We don't know, by the way. We genuinely haven't played it. I think they're doing a beta soon, I think, and I'd be very interested to try that. But again, that makes me think of Destiny. Anyway, strange time for the game to come out, though. Like, I know it's going to be smart delivery or whatever PS5's calling it now as well, but like, it's coming out very near new consoles, and it's a game as a service, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say about the timing, actually, because I kind of feel like with the fact that, obviously, we're in coronavirus situation, lockdown, everything, cinemas aren't around, no films coming out. Normally, we'd have had Black Widow by now. People like me, who go and watch every Marvel film in the cinema without fail, because I'm a geek, would have already had a Marvel fix already this year. And I feel like there's something to say around the fact that I actually really want this game because I'm kind of craving Marvel. I haven't actually had anything since Endgame. And actually, there's it's one of those weird things that actually, like, soon I can get, I can play that game, and that's going to be a Marvel hit for me that I haven't had for quite a while.
Spider-Man, what, the month after? Marvel Morales,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
It's going to be quite a Marvel-y. It's kind of, now I think about it, it's kind of clever. You wonder how much Marvel had an influence on that.
Because obviously, lockdown.
No, but like they, like you've just said, they would normally have had another film by now, or very soon.
Isn't Black Widow around that time though? Isn't Black Widow like October time now?
Well, if that's the case, then you will literally have.
So they're kind of hitting you with Marvel, which is a great way to, because you know, it's a great way to get it back in everyone's minds.
Oh, people haven't forgot about Marvel and McDonald's.
No, you know what I'm saying. I haven't forgot about Marvel. I'm sitting here hankering for.
I was literally thinking about how I want to rewatch Into the Spider-Verse again because I've only seen it the once. And
amazing.
It seems like, yeah, when I watched that film, when I watched that film, it was so hyped. Mm. It was that thing of like when I watched Breaking Bad, it's like it's definitely good, but it could never live up to the actual hype of it. And I'd love to watch I've got the Blu-ray. I might watch that again now, a bit removed from it, so I feel like I can enjoy it without the pressure of, this is so amazing, you have to watch it, it's that good. It's like, okay. So there was another reveal we should talk about. I don't know where to start. Should we start with you, Adam? Yep. Did you watch all of the what was it called? Is it Night City?
Wire. Night City Wire.
Yeah. Did you watch all of it? Have you caught up the trailers?
I didn't watch all of it solely because I just didn't want to watch all of it. Like I want to keep a bit of this. And there is, don't get me wrong, there'll be a lot of this game. But I watched a fair chunk of just a bit more than what we had already seen, such as like, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think we saw up until this point vehicles.
We knew there were vehicles.
We knew there were vehicles, but like, did we see the car driving around the city and stuff?
Yes, I want to say we had. It was one. It looked kind of Back to the Future-esque, I think it was a cutscene.
Okay, so look. Here's the thing, this game looks bright and colourful super neon and all that jazz. I am saying the same thing as I said when I saw that when they revealed the first time round. You can never judge these kinds of games off of this kind of footage. Like, the stories, we know full well of what CD Projekt Red have done with the Witcher series. We know how deep they go with character development, side quests, all that jazz. The feel of this game alone is going to be so different. It's going to be so different to what we're used to in the likes of the Witcher, which is a franchise that... It doesn't feel amazing. It's definitely something they have to, like, you can't play The Witcher and go, controls are tight.
That is a really interesting point because I was literally, while I was watching this footage, thinking to myself, I think I need to play this.
Yeah,
because I watched it and the dialogue to me, I get what they're going for, but it kind of came off as a bit cheesy and hokey to me. But will it, if you're in out, you know, if you're in it rather than just watching a clip? And like, I saw the first person combat and it looked a little bit ropey, but again, I'm not controlling it. And then I looked and I saw the shooting, and the shooting is, you can't look at that and tell me if the shooting plays good from that footage.
No, you can't.
Don't know. I feel like I need to have a bit of hands on with that game and feel
the weight of it all.
Because it just, absolutely the weight of it, or the feel of being able to walk around that city. And I'm not saying, like, I need to absolutely review it and play 60 hours of it to know what it's about. But I just feel what they're showing, well, visually, I think it does look nice, and it's resting to look at. Like, I love the aesthetic. I quite seriously want to play it because I just feel like, I say, that they threw out Hella in the dialogue. And again, I get they're going for that. It is set in that area.
That's not my bag. That's not my thing.
No, but if it works as a whole, but just seeing, like, even some of the dialogue from V, that the character, like, it's something, I don't know. It felt weird. It didn't. I don't know. I need to play that game. I want to play that game bad.
Yeah, like, look, I'll say straight off, like, I haven't said this since, like, yet. I don't know if you guys have been discussed it, but like, the way this has been previewed, I'm gonna honestly say I wasn't the biggest fan as such.
I'm just gonna go, I agree.
Yeah,
with that.
Like I'm like okay, and it's like the what this game is going for. There's a lot of elements within the game that I think a lot of people are very easily sold on, such as the soundtrack and the neon colours, the 80s kind of thing that's happening. And I'm just a bit like, yeah, cool, that's all well and good if you're into that stuff. I'm not saying to bash that, but I can say that, like, this setting is always my thing. I love sci-fi, I love all that kind of stuff.
Blade
but
Runner.
Like, it's all great, and I'm sure this will be great, but there's a moment in, like, even in the gameplay where the character, like, chops off the head of some enemy, and it just felt a bit hokey or something, if that's the word I'm going
to
use.
Yeah, like, I really think it's something you need to feel.
Yeah. And
like, you mentioned about the previews ads, and I'm not going to waylay this, and because there's no way we can really discuss the fact we didn't get to preview it without being coming across as bitter. There's no way you can do that. Obviously, we'd like to preview it. And this is not like the opinion of God is a geek. I found it personally a bit disappointing that CD Projekt Red, who have always come across as like we are indie, just went with the biggest people they could find. It was literally only the world's biggest influencers and media. That's business, and I get it. It just, you don't have to do that, certainly in this climate where we're all level, really, aren't we?
And I just want to quickly say, that's my worry with this title in general, coming from the Witcher 3 especially, which is like one of my favorite games of all time, stepping away from that fantasy world. And
it's a big thing. It's a big deal for them.
Hitting this territory, which I feel is, I hope I don't cross like a knob here, but like it seems to be a game that would target the likes of influencers and stuff a lot easier than the fantasy realm. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying they're not going to get it right, but it's just like,
if there's someone I would have faith that would get a game right, I can't sit here as a critic or as just a game fan and not pretend that I'm not a big fan of CD Projekt. I am. Like, you know, I've played their games since, again, it's going to sound like a douche, I played them since before they were big. You know, I remember like desperately The Witcher. I remember upgrading my PC so it could play The Witcher 2. I remember The Witcher 2 being a game people complained about because it was so demanding on PCs. But I upgraded to play that game. I do believe in them, and I think they can make amazing games. It's a big risk. It's a calculated risk, perhaps, because they are that big now that they perhaps can't fail. But it is a big risk for them to take what they are known for and have done spectacularly well and say, now we're first person and there's shooting, and it's a different game for them. And Mick, that excites me massively.
Mick, you're like a humongous fan of Witcher and stuff like that as well. Like, from this alone, what are you feeling now going into this? Are you, like, from that gameplay alone, are you really excited? Like,
I tell you what, actually, because The Witcher is fantastic, right? The Witcher, even the first Witcher game, which not a lot of people played until I think they'd already played the second.
It was a very different game.
Yeah, it was. Oh. I played two until it. Yeah, then one.
And then, because I didn't play the first Witcher, I've been reading The Witcher books on and off for years, but I wasn't interested in the game, so I wasn't a PC gamer then. When I played Witcher 2 on console, I then went back later and played Witcher 1. When Witcher 3 Wild Hunt came out, I was blown away at almost every turn with that game. But objectively speaking, as a critic and you know, people have written about this, so The Witcher 3 wasn't perfect, right?
Mick, do you remember sorry to cut across you there, but I think that's a really interesting point. History has kind of made that game universal 10 out of 10. I think I gave it a 9, and I remember one of the reasons it's really hung in my mind about why I didn't give it the full 10, and that was an outlying score at the time, it did get 10s, was I remember very specifically a quest where you had to find a goat, and they made a joke about the fact that they were kind of, like some fetch quest. And then you had to actually do the quest of ringing
the
bell.
It's like the frying pan quest, isn't it?
And I kind of remember thinking, you've got there nearly. You've made the joke, but then you've done the trope. And I don't know. I would love to see them do that. Because they said in the video just recently, one of the devs said, this game, I think it was the, it might have been the lead level designer said, literally, this game has no filler, essentially. Paraphrasing, but he said, every quest is important. And I think The Witcher 3 got bloody close to that as well.
See, I remember thinking, excuse me, I remember The Witcher 3 because at the time, if you remember, like, was it like 3 months after or 4 months after, so they released a patch that changed the combat.
Yeah, the controls, that the added, whole locomotion of it
changed. Yeah, so when it launched, and CD Projekt Red, it was free. Because I remember, didn't they launch with like 16 pieces of DLC that sort of released sporadically, and everyone kept saying how amazing it was.
There was a lot.
And which is good. So, and I do trust, if I was going to trust anybody with a giant open world RPG, I would trust CD Projekt. I used to be BioWare. I would have trusted BioWare. I do trust CD Projekt Red, but The Witcher 3 wasn't perfect. And I don't think CD Projekt Red kind of cut their teeth on the Witcher games, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they did. I know Witcher 3 is like a magnum opus, and it is a lot of people's favorite, one of my favorite games. But they did the Witcher games, and now they've done this. So there's nothing in between there. And this is quite a jump.
They did Gwent. They did
Thronebreaker,
The Witcher Tales. But it's quite a different.
Those are completely different kettles of fish, really. I mean, like, in terms of these big open world action games, like, they've gone from The Witcher to something very different. So, on the one hand, I have absolute faith in this game, right? And I have been a little bit bitter that we didn't get a chance, not necessarily me, but we didn't get a chance to play it because we're such big fans of CD Projekt Red and the stuff they've done
before. It isn't even that for me, because I don't feel that should entitle you to get access. Because they are such a forward-thinking kind of indie company. Yeah. And I don't do social media now, but from what I can see, it does appear they've targeted only the very biggest.
They don't need to do that.
They're not some small indie that needs to get the IGNs posting about their game, because they will anyway.
Yeah. But I mean,
it's impossible to not sound bitter, and I don't want this podcast to be us complaining we didn't get to preview. We have very good access, and we have lots of coverage of lots of games. One game doesn't change the world, and we'll still review it. And if we get the opportunity, we'll still preview it, because we're here because we love games, and that game, I still think that game looks bloody good, and I still want to play it yesterday, you know?
Yeah, I wasn't complaining. that wasn't my intention.
No, but I felt like you were going to, obviously.
No, not at all.
As the comments on YouTube have taught us, we don't want to piss off PR, because that would be really bad.
I wasn't going to say that at all.
Using what you didn't say to make a bit out of it, because you've reminded me, Mick, I need to go and get both my Ferraris cleaned. So,
yeah. But no, terrible. The point I was making was that while I trust CD Projekt Red, I do, but I have watched most of the day because I'm hyped for this game. So most of the day I've been through quite a few previews. I've been watching people's previews, watching people's opinions. And quite unanimously, what I've took away from it is that obviously it looks spectacular. Not only does it seem to look spectacular, it runs incredibly well. Like, people are talking upwards of 60 FPS even during the high speed chases and things like that. And which is very impressive. But what I did notice that a lot of people said was that the problems that The Witcher 3 kind of had seem to still be the same problems that this kind of had, where people have said, you know, some of the systems are a little bit complicated. Because I know some people had some problems with The Witcher's alchemy and things like that that were... And the combat, like when The Witcher 3 launched, a lot of people didn't really like the combat. People still say it now. They still say, I love The Witcher 3, but... I fucking love the combat, which is, I think it's fantastic. Yeah. And I can never understand people who complain about it, but they do. And, you know, that's their opinion. And watching these previews earlier on, everybody kind of went for like however long the preview was, 20 minutes. People spent 18 minutes saying it looks amazing and it runs really well and it's so detailed and then 2 minutes going, the combat wasn't great and there's a detective mode I don't really like and the hacking was a little bit confusing. And it's like, that's like the little bit they squeeze in the end. I kind of think that when this comes out and everybody finally gets the chance to play it, what I'm basically saying is I'm trying to temper my expectations a little bit, because it's easy for me to get on a hype train. Yeah. So,
but if I offered you right now a first-person cyberpunk game that was the equivalence in terms of quality of The Witcher 3, I'd take it.
I'm happy
with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let's not kid ourselves. This is the biggest game left this year.
Without that.
Nintendo pull something out that we don't expect. Like, unless they suddenly go, oh, by the way, Mario Odyssey 2, you know, or Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 is out this year. They won't be, but just in case they do. Chris Hodge, you've been remarkably quiet. I assume it's because you can't stop thinking about how good it's going to be and that you need to polish your Porsches.
Well, yes, but
actually, you might really have a Porsche. I don't know.
I really don't, mate. I have a Kia, so let's oh, wow. just temper that quite a yeah. lot.
He's got seven Kias.
Yeah,
yeah, a fleet of them. I'm in a similar situation to Mick. I love The Witcher 3, and my wife is so hyped for this game; it's unreal. She's been watching everything to do with it whenever it comes out.
Just drops the casual. My wife is a gamer. In
my
there.
Wife is a gamer, you know, as well as being posh. I've got it all, living the dream. But she's put hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours into The Witcher 3. She absolutely adores it. So she's all over this. So sometimes I hear stuff from her, but yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. But I'm more of a fancy guy as well, but a bit like Mick, I think.
A fancy guy or a fantasy guy?
Fantasy guy.
I've got well, both. To get this moving.
We'll get it in. Yep. So I am a bit, not nervous, but a bit apprehensive, I guess, of is it going to click for me? Mm. I still think it'll be good. I still think really good. I still think I'll enjoy it. But will I come to like revere it like I do The Witcher 3? I don't know. But I still can't wait for it. I still think it looks
good. The world looks so good.
Yeah, and it looks really interesting to kind of absorb yourself in it. I think that'll be really interesting. Like you say, all the characters and quests and stuff are still going to be interesting. I'm still really looking forward to it. It's just whether it will be that one that I look back on and go, that was one of my games of the generation, like I do for The Witcher 3. I don't know, but that's what I've got to compare it to, unfortunately.
Wow. So. Well, I'm just going to say, all you negative people in this on this podcast, I'm really looking forward to it. So, nearly 40, but not yet, but not quite. Let's talk about some games we have played. Actually, no. We can't, because I was about to start with a game that I haven't played. Chris White, not here, obviously. Preview events have got different for websites and influencers now. And you can't go to an event because there's a virus out there. And I'll be honest with you, I've had three of these recently, one of which... Yeah, Dirt 5 we had, and we can talk about that because the preview's gone up with that from Gary. Another one I can't talk about yet... But when you watch this or listen to this, there will be a preview up on the website of that game. And all I'm going to say about the game that I'm not even going to mention the name of is it made me smile when I didn't think I was going to smile that day. I was in a really foul mood and I went to this preview event digitally and I was like, I need this now. And I think you're going to probably understand some more of that when you see the video preview and the words. But another game that Chris and I did preview, but we haven't played... So unfortunately, you still do have to have hands-off previews with some of these, is a game called Street Power Football. And I would say to people, go and have a look on godisageek.com for Chris's preview of that. This is an interesting game because I wonder, like, what I think they did say what price point they're going for, and I don't know if they said actually the actual price point or we have one in mind. Developers are making a game that looks part like FIFA Street. It looks part rhythm game. It looks part game designed to make my life as a football coach a living hell because they're promoting panners. If you don't know what a panner is, it's a nutmeg over here, I guess. You know, the ball between the legs, and like that's gonna, you know, coaches already have to try and keep their legs together. Just Mick, hold that thought. Yes, you were. But coaches already have to keep their legs together when it comes to football, because there's always a kid that tries to poke the ball through as a panner, and this has like got a panner mode where you have to actually compete against your opponent online or offline, and like you build up a power bar. It's basically it's a small outdoor football match, and like on the sand, like in Brazil or somewhere, and you have to score a goal. You get points for scoring a goal, but you also, if you activate this mini game by getting your power bar all the way up, you go into like a quick time event, and you have to succeed at that to panner them, and if you panner them you get more extra points for that as well, and you can actually panner them through their legs to then score a goal from it to get even more points. I will say that the actual football game start, the actual just matches, didn't look, again, it was one a bit like the Cyberpunk thing. I felt like I need to actually physically have a controller in my hand and feel how that felt, because it looked a bit weird. But all the rhythm game stuff looked cool, like, you know, it's like street football, it's like, just, you know, you're doing QTEs and rhythmic to the music to keep the ball up, to do tricks like around the worlds and stuff and all that, and it actually looks like a really cool game. Like cartoon art style.
So is it like rhythm to like pass and stuff, or is it just to...
No. This is what makes me so interested in this game, is that there's so much to it. There is a football mode where you can play, I think it was 3-a-side. I think it was 3v3. No goalkeepers, outdoor, you know, street football. But also there is a separate mode, like the Panna mode is a separate mode, which is a football match with the mini game. And then there is another separate mode that is like freestyle, just doing tricks. Like I said, it's just a rhythm game, your music rhythm game, to do tricks. Really interesting, like, totally sort of left field idea. And they basically said, and this went straight up my flagpole, and I appreciate, you know, Adam and Mick not huge sports fans, but you'll appreciate what I'm saying. One of the things I think someone in the preview session mentioned was games like NBA Jam, you know, they're not made now. Like, that kind of sports game isn't made now. And they said, no,
fun, sports
games. Absolutely. Cause, like, the reason I don't play Madden anymore or NHL anymore, or in fact, the one I used to love, the NBA games, the reason I don't play them now, they're too simulation based.
Very technical. Yeah. See, I used to play NBA Jam.
That's what I mean.
I'm the same.
Ballers, was it Ballers? Was another one?
Yeah, the EA one.
That was great. That was kind of like a realistic feeling version of NBA Jam, or NBA Street, it might have been. I can't remember. That was Ballers, wasn't it? That was a great game. I think 1,000 G'd
I remember
that
FIFA
on Xbox.
FIFA Street,
yeah, and they tried to bring that back. But again, because of the realistic nature of FIFA now, it didn't really take off like it should have. So I'm kind of impressed and interested to see this, because it's an arcade sports game, and I wish we had a few. It's the same for me with racers.
Like, yeah, I was just about to say.
Paradise. Like, everything's gone. We have to show, like, you know, like next month, July. Well, yeah, July it'll be when they Xbox show their first party stuff. Like, you know, there'll be a racing game. Like, and it'll be Forza 8. And
does
that's
anyone
be
really
an old. Go on.
Does anyone fly the flag for those sort of
that's
arcade
what I'm
races?
Saying.
I know, like, Burnout But Need for Speed, kind of. I mean, does anyone care about Need for Speed
But
anymore?
They even went down that route a little bit and became slightly more realistic. No, and that's even Forza Horizon, it's still based in realism.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I really miss, like, do you remember when Blur came out and Split Second, like, in the same, you know, now you have to kind of go to Mario Kart if you want.
See,
that.
I pay real good money for a good,
Absolutely.
A freshly made current gen Burnout. I know we talked about this before, but.
Yes, never, yeah.
Blur was another really opportunity as well.
Blur was brilliant. It was Mario Kart. But modern graphics and realistic.
Yeah, it was really good.
But it was Mario Kart, and I don't know why it didn't do better. I remember, I think, played a demo of it, and I literally went out that day and bought the game in Tesco. I still remember, and it wasn't just me. Mm. My mate was around, and we were both playing this demo, and we both went to Tesco, got in a car, and both bought a copy of it, because even then, they weren't prevalent. But, yeah, this is what... So Street Power Football, and I think will be called Street Power Soccer in other territories, unfortunately. Looks cool, and I would like to play it. Other than that, I can talk about nothing I'm playing. So if anyone would like to take the floor before we get into listener correspondence, then the floor is yours.
I've not been playing an awful lot. I'll tell you what I've been playing. I mean, I've been playing Destiny a bit.
You have definitely been playing an awful lot. That's a complete...
Okay, game. I have. I've been playing, actually, yeah, I could probably list, like... I'll tell you what I could talk about, right? I'll tell you what I've been playing. I've been playing a game... because the embargo has just gone, called Phantom Covert Ops, right? This is the kayak. This is a stealth sniper kayak simulator VR game.
In VR,
right?
Now,
and this was a really hard game to review. This has taken me weeks. I'm really glad they gave us it really early, because it's take I'm shit with VR, right? I get real bad motion sickness. And I can play Beat Saber because I'm standing still and I'm just pretending I'm a Jedi when I'm playing Beat Saber. And I can play, like, The Climb and shit like that, where I'm sort of in one place. And I can walk around VR world going, ah, and I played Half-Life Alyx, which is amazing. But this kayak game, Jesus Christ, I've never felt so weird. And it's a good game, don't get me wrong. Very good game, really well made, gorgeous. Really precise as well. I mean, Oculus Rift is a really decent piece of kit when it comes to that sort of thing, and it's really precise. But you're basically a dude whose entire, like, modus operandi is that he's in a kayak. So, like, you're like a stealth covert ops agent, but you happen to have a kayak. I'm not sure how it works on land. You know, if ever you have to go and you've got to drag the kayak around, I'm sure that's, like, fuck up your stealth meter a little bit, but they don't make you do that. You just sit in a kayak. But you've got, like, a... I'm doing this because there's a camera in front of me, but I know people who are listening don't know that I'm doing this, but you've got like a gun on your chest. And you know, you guys play VR a lot. I know Adam does quite a bit, but do you guys play much VR?
I've played a good bit of it.
There's this really cool thing. Like, I had the PSVR and I wasn't all that impressed with the PSVR in some elements because, like, the controllers, those Move ones, are pretty shit, I find. But the Oculus controllers are wonderful because you've got the triggers and they're very tactile.
Yeah, they are.
The vibration's great and the weight in them feels like you're holding something. And so you sat in a kayak, this is how you are, and you can look down and there's water either side of you and the kayak goes out in front of you and you've got your binoculars you can pick up and there's a gun here and a gun on your back that you can reach for and a sniper rifle. And I'm sitting in my living room just acting this shit out with my ear. No one can even hear what's going on, so I'm just sitting there sniping people. Like, I look like when I was 11 years old, I used to run around the village with my mate just pretending to play armies with like invisible guns. And I'm sitting there with sniper rifles and that's all great. And they like, and how it starts is you're in like a helicopter and this guy's sitting there going, here we are, mission zero, blah, blah. And you get,
he's gone with the accents again.
And the thing opens and the kayak sort of sluices into the water slowly. And I thought, this is great. So I pick the gun up and I'm shooting. I thought, wow, this is really impressive. Really impressed by this. Pick up the paddle within 4.5 minutes, I'm fucking knackered. Sweating buckets, sick as a dog because the water motion on the Jesus. And I just turned it off and I really wanted to play more. So I kept like every time I was playing something on the PC for the last couple of weeks, I'm like, put the headset on, right, let's go. Another 8 minutes of Phantom going off.
That's what took me so long to review Half-Life Alyx, because it's like they come to a point where like when you're in VR, you accept you're going to sweat. But there does come a point where you become reaware of how sweaty you are, and you're like, I need to take this off.
I get sick.
Towel down. And then you pick it up again, and you're like, I'm not fucking putting that back on. This is soaked. And someone needs to come up with some sort of anti-sweat VR tech. Or a diet, I suppose.
I tell you what, Half-Life Alyx is the only VR game I've played where I can move around, shoot, do all the stuff it's asking me to do, and not feel ill. For some reason, that game just doesn't trigger my motion sickness at all. And it's the only one.
It's just really, really
well made. But every other game I play, no matter what it is, no matter whether I sit down, I try not to move. Within a few minutes of motion, I start to feel sick, except for...
Imagine if you actually chundered while in VR. Like, that would be some mess to clear up because of the VR gear you've all got on.
Well, yeah, because you don't know where the fuck you are, because I'm standing in front of...
You don't know where you are, and you realise that your child's right in front of you.
I do that all the time, like, bang, what was that? Was that a kid? Did I just hit a kid?
That's all right, I've got three more.
That VR, I try and stay in my little space, and I've got... And you know, like, in Oculus...
You can't. Yeah. You end up. I've done it in this. This is a big room, and I started here, and somehow I end up.
You draw that space around you. So when you look down, it's on the floor. I'm in the circle. 2 minutes later, it's like the fucking circle.
or when you turn around and you've been turned around so much because you are playing a game like Half-Life Alyx, and then suddenly you're like aware, because obviously they've got like a big almost Predator-style cable. The Vive one is actually not bad for that. It's quite a slim cable, but the Rift has got a lot of cable.
Big ass cable. It sticks to your back.
So with the vibes, like, suddenly I become real. So again, like, oh yeah, the cable's there. I'm thinking, yeah, but I wasn't. And you take it off and you're like,
yeah. And it feels like
facing the opposite direction.
It feels like you've been teleported. Oh. You feel like you've been abducted by aliens. You're like, I'm facing this way. You open this, you're at the couch. Like, you just come through the fucking door with stars in their eyes. You don't know where you are.
All the mist, in the wall,
especially
everywhere.
If you wear glasses with VR.
Don't even.
You take it off and you just steam. But yeah.
If you can get the glasses. So I find you have to put the glasses in the VR sometimes to get them comfortable. That's what I do.
And then I have to fucking fiddle. See, the PSVR is really good because that just...
It's the most comfortable.
Because that's basically like a diving helmet. That just fits over anything. I think you could be wearing a full screen mask and still play the PSVR, but I haven't tried that. Probably will. But yeah, anyway, so Phantom Covert Ops, that's the main thing I've been trying to play. Recently.
Well, shall we just jump into listener correspondence or you know, Chris? The thing is, I know I'm not letting Chris and Adam speak. I just know the only game they played is The Last of Us Part 2. And you're more than welcome to, if you want, chaps. We're obviously going to do a spoiler cast, but do you want to give... I mean, just so people who... Because people might not listen to the spoiler cast for a while, so I think it'd be nice for people to get your impressions of actually what you think of the game, you know.
I'll swing back round, actually, because I have a game that I've been playing that Adam might... I don't want to... You know, I've been rambling for quite a while, but I reckon...
Yeah. I'm gonna...
Just didn't even finish the sentence there, Mick.
I just left
just
it.
Didn't even... He just thought I reckoned and just didn't even finish it.
I left it hanging. Well, I don't want to keep talking. I'm very aware that I hijack the pod every week and just fucking...
If I had paid full attention to that, man, the people who are just listening are going like, I think Mick's just had a stroke.
He's shot.
He's just literally started, and I'll just... And then, oh, well, that's a weird edit Adam's made there. What on earth did Mick say? Nothing. He just completely...
I just stopped talking. I wanted a drink.
Yeah.
Okay, look, I'm gonna, because we are doing the spoiler cast, I'm gonna just like give a brief one because I know people have been hearing about this game a whole pile and for good reasons. Yeah. I want to just backtrack slightly to like the pod, which was maybe 2-3 weeks ago, probably, Ed, when you were talking about it, and like the embargo was lifted, reviews were out there, and you were explaining yourself, and I vividly remember sitting here kind of going like, oh my god, I have to wait like a week, and this is going to happen. I would like to kind of probably congratulate you on holding back the level of like stuff and emotions and just everything, because all day I've been planning. I've been in my head going, how will I talk about
how
this?
How do you talk about
how
this
do
game?
I talk about this game? What do I say about it? And we'll go into full detail, obviously, more in the spoiler cast. But I am going to say straight out right now that this is the best game I've ever played.
There you go. And
I think.
Don't, by the way, commenters, don't worry. I'll forward this video to Sony. So
yeah, do you know, I'm actually quote. Like,
no, if they do now, that really is going to backfire. So
yeah. I think this is my favorite game of all time. I have debated this since playing it and during it. There's so many things that happen throughout this game that I just feel like I need to cover all 25 hours of what I played, and then as soon as I finished it and credits rolled, I went new game plus, start again. I have never in my entire life done that with a video game, and like literally credits rolling, I've spent just the 5 hours playing the last remaining part of this game, and it ends, credits it there, I had the controller down, I was looking at the credits going up, and I was just like looking at every person's name that's like associated with Naughty Dog, and I was just like hero, 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 over and over and over again. There are things in this game, and I know people have repeated these things before that do like it, and there are things in this game that I honestly couldn't find the words to express what happened, and I was like, as I went through these motions, I was like looking around by myself, kind of going, oh, Jesus, what is this? Like, how is this happening? There were things that even happened in the gameplay that almost I felt like, was that just by coincidence that this just happened? Like, that moment of, like, unreal, kind of like, did that just happen on purpose? Or was that just ridiculously good timing for my playthrough? It's like, the level of detail. Like, we can go on about the story, and that's what I mean. Like, so I'm not going to say... The beats not that are hitting the stories is a different situation. But in terms of what I can say, the detail that's in the game itself, I've never seen shit like this. I think maybe it's because, like, being a humongous movie fan and all this kind of stuff, there's just things that I kind of feel like I just are seeing that... I'm not sure I see it because I watch films. No, it's just like, it just happens. And I notice these things, such as the moments of getting caught by enemies and running and hiding and trying to find your way through, right? My mind was blown, and out loud I was going, shit, when I would jump over a table and the glass would explode from a bullet hitting it. And you see these moments happen. And I think, like, the acknowledgement of that kind of detail is insane. I know there's other games out there that do with these kind of things as well, but the level of polish and how the game just runs is almost flawless. It is flawless, in my opinion. Like, the storytelling, and this is what broke my fucking heart in the end of it all as well, is that, like, when I finished this game, I was able to dive in afterwards to see what was spoiled months or weeks beforehand, and what are these user reviews that are getting such, like negative comments.
Do you see what I mean now? Like, people got their knickers in a twist about something that wasn't even true.
Yeah.
So, I turned around, actually today, I was in work, and a person asked me, did I finish it? And I goes, yeah, do you really want to get into this right now? Because, like, we could be here all day long.
Yeah.
I said, very quickly, I went, The Last of Us Part 2 is the definitive piece of media that exists in this world that I think, in my head, has clarified that the human race will never be happy as a group together ever again on anything. I don't think it's ever going to happen, because the nitpicking that's gone towards this game, not even nitpicking, just the slaughtering that's
hatred.
Gone towards this game, the hatred, the petition and all that kind of stuff with the story. Like, I don't know what is going on here. Like, I just don't know what's happening with these situations. Like, for me, right? Like, if you've played The Last of Us, if you were planning on playing The Last of Us Part 2, I actually know what, there is some people I know who actually still want to play it and they haven't gotten around to it, but the moment in the first 2 hours, which we have all experienced, all four of us here at this stage, right? That's the one that got everyone's knickers in a twist, right?
Now, I think probably it is. It's one of two things, but the second thing isn't true, so...
It is, right? Mm. What blows my mind, and I'm going to use this as well, is that, like, people got so angry over that moment, right? But when shit like that happened in the likes of Game of Thrones, everyone was, like, the next day going, last night's episode, oh my God.
Do you know what? Like, it was 2 weeks ago when you were talking about it, Adam. And when you were talking, obviously read to your review and everything, and we're talking about the step change in storytelling and kind of breaking boundaries and everything else around it. All in my head, I didn't want to say it on the podcast, we're not going, oh, it's all about Game of Thrones because George R. R. Martin's a genius or whatever. But I was thinking exactly the same thing, because I love those books.
Mm.
The show, a little bit, but the books, very much the same. You think one thing about a character and then they're dead. And then you like a character, then you hate them, then you like them. And it's just... nothing is as you expect, and this is what this feels like it's going to do. I've only played like 6 hours, so I've only seen certain things, but that was the vibe I got, and it's certainly the vibe that I'm getting. And you're absolutely right, Adam. Everyone praises that and lauds it for good reason in Game of Thrones, because it subverts expectation, and that's enjoyable because it's not just, you know, everyone gets the happy ever after. There's a sense of realism that not everyone does, and everyone isn't always end in a nice, happy way. There's always repercussions and things that you don't... It's not always nice. And people are like, well, that's a terrible story. It's like, no, that's a really good story if it's done well.
If they had experienced it. Because until these spoilers came out, all those people were buying this game, day one. And they would have experienced that as it was intended to be experienced, instead of just reading it as a sentence.
I want to know what people expected. Like, I had this conversation with you, didn't I? And I put some stuff on Twitter the other night, which I did delete because I did have a spoiler.
We're not going to spoil before anyone wants to.
Not going to spoil here. But I did, looking back at my own, because I read the leaks, I looked at the leaks, I looked them up, I wanted to know. I spoil stuff for myself all the time. Spoilers don't bother me. But I looked up the leaks when they came out, and I read through them, and I thought, fucking hell, this is going to be hard. Some of this is going to be hard to play. I spoke to Adam after playing it and I'm only a little bit into it, but I already know what happens. I know I'll spoil it for myself. I've not experienced it, but I know what's coming. And
just for the record, you still don't. I'm just telling you now, you even if you've read all of those spoilers, you still
I'm not on about the spoilers. I mean, I've read the fucking storyline. Yeah. I've watched playthroughs and all sorts. I know what's coming. I don't know the feelings that are coming, but I've seen the mechanics.
Zero in on something you said there. I must admit, I'm not someone bothered by spoilers too much often.
No, they are.
The reason is because I can accept that a line of text is not the script.
Yeah, that's like the thing.
Game of Thrones, I would always have Game of Thrones spoiled for me before I watched it because to start with, I was seven series behind everybody else or whatever.
Yeah, and the last series,
it was on at like a time where I could not stay up and watch it. And if you went online, it was spoiled. And I'm not saying you, listener, reader, watcher, viewer, should be not angry about those because we're all individuals and things bother us differently. But I never get bothered by them because they're completely without context. And it's the emotion of seeing the drama unfold that makes it good or bad.
I couldn't work out what people wanted.
This is the thing, right? Because I just, like, going through the first game again, right? I was like, this game, when that game came out, it was like game changing for people, and it like it was after raising the bar in terms of storytelling and just character development in ways. And like going through that game before two, just the week beforehand, and then experiencing two, like it's Last of Us One is this size. In terms of scope and story, and then two was just like, see ya.
I tell you what, imagine
me playing that pre-release and thinking I was getting a The Last of Us Part Two, and then as the game kept going, being like, this is, I mean, the scope, forget the story, forget the gameplay, forget everything. The scope of a game of this sort of grandeur, this scale, with that fidelity, with that attention to detail. It's astonishing. I don't care if you're angry about what you know or don't know about the story. The scope and scale. The last game that they called it was God of War.
Yeah, but the people calling this a bad game, like, you can say what you like. I get that some people were dissatisfied with the story, and I can understand why. I'm not going to pretend I don't. I can understand why some people, from a certain point of view, would have been upset by the story, and not just upset, but would have felt even maybe betrayed, because you can become really attached to characters. And I think, because I imagine, I thought to myself the other day, imagine if The Last of Us Part Two was the third in the trilogy, and there was the one with Joel Ellie, and then before that there was one where you played as Marlene, the Firefly, trying to find, do you know what I mean, the details and the cure, and then do you know what I mean? So the character that you play in a world like this, you can't expect there to not be.
I would just say, I think we're getting dangerously close to even alluding to things. It's a 30-hour game, and we will do a spoiler cast. If you have got this far, we will do a spoiler cast. I want to do it. Adam wants to do it. Chris White wants to do it. I suspect when Mick and Chris finish it, they want to. We will do a spoiler cast. We won't spoil it in the regular podcast.
Just very quickly, just to summarise it overall,
because Adam, what I'm hearing, by the way, from all of this is that I was right, and it's as much a surprise to me as it is to anyone else that quite good at my job. But trust me, I'm tired. This is not. I would look more shocked, you know. But I'm as stunned as you are that I'm good at my job. I know.
I think what Naughty Dog have done here has been just an absolute, like, landmark of media. I think in terms of music, film, storytelling, every character. I love every single character of this game. I loved Adam, and I know you were saying, but like we were discussing it in text about the end and stuff, and we were going back and forth on bits. I won't say. No. There was not a second that I disliked of two. There's just not a second. No game. This game made me cry. Four times.
Oh, I only got to 3.5.
Four times, and
twice already.
It's quite front loaded with the tears.
Am I just an ice queen then?
Yes.
Because like I nearly went.
But you're posh. You've got no time for emotion.
He's stoic, Mick. Yeah.
But I feel that that's just like what this game did to me, and I don't think, like, if someone turns around and just like, oh, come on, it's not the best game ever made, blah, blah, blah. I just think it is. There was a feeling. there was a feeling.
You're wrong.
you're just wrong. Do you know what I mean?
I'm just getting a text through. tell Adam his Ferrari's in the post.
Yeah.
Don't shoot this out on the podcast. Oh.
Do you know? I'd love that.
Whoops. Though.
Imagine if that was true. The amount of times in 10 years that accusation has been laid. Imagine if that was true.
Oh, I made a joke on...
Why the fuck would I still be doing it? Do you know what I mean?
I made a joke on Twitter that Neil Druckmann had bought every copy of The Last of Us Part 2 so that it got to number one.
There's, actually,
that he paid everybody who bought it to buy it was actually the joke.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think by the end of that game, there was something that just kind of in my head, I felt like that game was just made for me. And I don't think I knew that I definitely did not know that I was going to be like feeling that way about it.
See, that's interesting actually, because I don't feel that way when I'm playing it, which is interesting you say that, because I don't feel like that. All I keep thinking is, like, I've seen a lot of people who've said about how relatable Ellie is to them and how, like, relatable Joel is and how relatable... We know there's another character, Abby.
You can say Abby. Like,
yeah,
Abby
so we know, and some people have even said they relate to Abby, and they should, because she's a fucking really well-drawn character, in my personal opinion, right? But for me, I'm somebody who's... I'm way outside this game. So even when I'm playing it and I'm in it, and I mean, I said to Adam, there's a bit where you sit and play a song and Take On Me, that was like the second time I welled up at this game. So I'm in it. I'm fully immersed. I'm in it. But at the same time, for me, this is the equivalent of when I'm watching something. And I know that I shouldn't say that because everyone says, oh, it's just a movie game. That's horrible fucking label that they've been given to games like this. But that's what I feel like. I feel like when I watch something really great that really shook me, like, I don't know, The Departed for the first time or something, which I thought was just a fantastic film, and I couldn't guess what was going to happen throughout the whole of that film. And I feel like this again. And I know I'm in control of it, but I'm so shit that it doesn't matter because, you know, I'm playing every combat encounter 8 times and stuff because I just... So it pulls me out of it anyway. But, yeah, I
get... You will definitely feel something. I think... It just comes in obviously different waves. Like you said something about the guitar, right? The guitar situation alone for me was just, I was just sitting there going, fuck it. I don't know what this is, but like, I'm emotionally pulled. Like this is that there is in the opening 20 minutes is when I first shed a tear. Like, opening 20 minutes, which so you have experienced that moment, right? Yeah. And it's between... It's that song, it's those words, and I think it's the way Troy Baker sings it, it's the way it's delivered, because they deserve so much praise for their performances here. Everyone does. Everyone does in this game. But that
it's
moment,
next level.
That
it
moment,
really is.
I'm even thinking of it right now, and the hairs on my body are standing up, right? It's crazy. But like... It's the small attention to details as well, where when Ellie takes the guitar from Joel, right, and this is just, as I said, this is not a spoiler, this is just a thing, this is just one little tiny thing that I have to explain that happens, that I felt. She sits there with the guitar like this, and then it's just before you see The Last of Part 2, and she goes, boom. And when she hits the E string on the guitar, that's when the sub of the score goes boom, boom, don't. And you're like, and I had headphones on and I was just like, because that whole thing just happened between Joel and Ellie. And then we go through Jackson and like, you know, off we go. And the brutality of it, there's a lot of people who are kind of going as well. Oh, I saw things where people are saying, no, the Naughty Dog standard of press L3 for them to look over at the destination we have to go over there. What's the problem? What's the problem here? What's the issue here with this?
If that's the thing you're picking at, then you are reaching for criticism. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a criticism. It might be to you or them, but if that is
like,
what you're
I think for me, if that's your problem, then you're just not really into Naughty Dog titles. Like,
they've got a style.
Like, that's just their style, and that's the way it is. But, like, look, we can get into more detail. Like, there's so much I want to talk about, but this game has just, like, changed everything for me. Like,
I never put the controller down and just watched the screen so many times. I think that's probably what I meant by, like, that's what it feels like to me. It's like, the amount of times I've just already in like 6 hours, I've just put it down and just watched. And, and then when that little bit's ended, I thought, I kind of don't want to play anymore. I want to just keep this moment.
I texted my girlfriend once it was finished, right? And she knew I was going through, and I was telling her bits and pieces of like what I was feeling, what I was going through with the game. Now, she saw the trailers on TV and stuff. She was like, geez, that game looks so realistic and whatever. And I was like, yeah. So I was explaining. And then like it ended, and I was like, got my phone. I was like, and I was like, oh, just like vibrating with so much to say. I was like, Jesus Christ. And then I was like, boom, saint. And then next all I saw was typing, and then cool. I was like, you can't just do that. I am so unbelievably just in awe. This game is the greatest thing I've ever experienced. Pow!
Let's move on to some listener correspondence on the back of that. Chris Hyde, sports fan. Hello, virtual high five. Is it time for a sorry, I left you hanging. Is it time for a really good arcadey tennis game? I really miss Virtua Tennis, says Thomas on Twitter. Just headbutted the mic a bit there, but let's not draw attention to that.
I mean, I think it's a bit like what we were saying. Sorry, it's a bit like what we were saying about the driving and the other games you were mentioning before about there's not really good arcadey versions of sports games. They've all very much gone down the realism route. I mean, tennis-wise, I mean, other than like Mario Tennis, not really been arcade tennis games. I have not really played a lot of them, to be honest. I don't mind them, but it's not really a thing other than outside of like the Mario games personally for me. But I get what he's saying, because there is something about that more arcadey title that there's just something fun about it, you know, that the over the top smashes and stuff like that is just there's a fun element to it, isn't it? So I get it. You know, when I did the Mario and Sonic at the Tokyo Olympics, which is a poorly timed game now, but you know, that tennis in that, you know, the volleyball and stuff in that is you know, it's great to play because it's just not taking itself too seriously. So I get it, but it's not. I don't know if other people have got love for Virtua Tennis that I haven't got, but I don't know. Anyone else?
No, I used to play it.
Be up for tennis full stop, because the last few but the Top Spin was a different one to Virtua Tennis.
Oh yeah.
You had to sort of preload the shots almost. Like, there's been a few tennis games recently that didn't seem to be, just seemed to be all right. Certainly not aces, and no one. Well, thank you, Mick. Thank you.
I was gonna let it go because you didn't deserve a laugh for that.
No, I appreciate that. You know.
Well, I couldn't. I love a pun. No,
I would be up for some more tennis games, like no question. I'd love to see Virtua Tennis, and I'd love to see it on the Switch, if I'm completely honest with you, because I feel like those games could run on. The beauty about tennis games is you don't have to worry too much about like ultra high def graphics, because it's just, most of tennis when you watch it on the screen is it's one square rectangle.
It'd be great on the Switch as well, a tennis game, because they're just rhythm, aren't they? Vita. Tennis games when it's going Vita.
Adam Carroll. EA recently pledged to support the Switch, but given the price of Burnout Paradise, I worry the games won't sell. EA won't learn any lessons and will probably conclude their games just don't sell on Switch. What do you and the team think of this?
How much is Burnout on Switch?
Full price, like 40 quid.
40 quid?
No, I think it was...
It's 50, isn't it? It's like $44.99.
45, didn't you say last week?
Yeah, it's nearly 50 quid.
That's absolutely diabolical. Diabolical altogether. Well, isn't there just a weird thing, though, with the Switch? With the Switch
Nintendo
store?
Tax.
It's just there. But the thing is, like, I don't know how, like, EA don't really learn from things like this in terms of, like, purchases and all that jazz. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, Burnout Paradise came on the Switch. I was like, cool. I was like, all right. I have it on PS4. Like, you know, you can buy that game for dirt cheap on a lot of other consoles. So I just feel like this kind of situation is kind of like whatever. Like, just bring it to a reasonable price. Like, people are going through a pandemic, for God's sake.
I don't think EA are going to give up Switch just yet, because I think they are very much trying to go through a. No, we're not that company that kept getting voted most evil corporation in gaming. They are very much trying to make themselves look like they're decent.
And they know games can sell on Switch. It's not like the Switch is a tough sell. So
they wouldn't put it out on Switch if they didn't think it was going to sell on Switch.
Exactly.
Although that price is...
That's,
is really putting people off.
Yeah,
I would have bought it if it was 20 quid.
And if it had come out at the same time as the PS4 and Xbox One version as well, I think it would have had a better price at full... better chance at full price. But this is... Like, even in the review, it's like, I can't not say that this is a great game because I've played it and it's fantastic and it works and it's brilliant.
But you can't charge it that much for the...
It's too much.
When did that game come out?
Over 10 years ago. 2008?
So, I'm sorry, nine? But... Go away with
it. I agree.
It's kind of... There's no justifying it.
20 quid, even 25, maybe.
I'd love to know. Good. I'd love to know how it's sold, though. Or how it is even selling on Switch.
Yeah,
like.
I mean, there's not... It's
I
not
bet
a
it's
great
doing
deal.
All right.
Like, imagine
that
being
kind of racer of that quality. Certainly not of that quality on Switch. Yeah. So,
imagine if someone bought it not knowing that this game was that old and it exists on other consoles.
This is the weird thing, though. Surely EA know that most people that want. I say most people. I'm generalising and guessing it, but surely they know that a great percentage of people who are going to want to play that game have probably already played it somewhere.
Yeah, but how many people buy games on Switch, man? Like,
but that's my point. So why make it full price? Why not?
Because
they'll buy it if they want to. It's like probably the possibility, isn't it?
They probably have the market research to prove money. Buy it anyway. It prints money, as the Nintendo meme goes. Let's stick with price. Other than price, the question is, what could Sony do to convince you podcast team to go for the all digital PS5?
Absolutely.
Deliver it in my Ferrari.
Of course, yeah.
I have not put a disc in my PS4 for a great long time. Yeah. However, it's a very much we write about games, we video games. So I've not I've bought games on other consoles, but I've not had to buy a PS4 game.
I hate
disc
using
for
discs.
A long time. And to be honest with you, I've got to the point now where if I do buy a game on PS4, I go digital.
I'm too lazy to switch discs.
Yeah, it's same. I love the digital. Now.
And the PS4 Pro, if you leave a disc in it, every now and again, it just goes fucking mental at you. It's like, it's not worth it. I can't be bothered. I'd rather just have it digital.
I did just buy the big Last of Us 2 Collector's Edition. And
I wanted that, and I really regret not getting
it. That's like the holy grail now after playing that game.
Yeah, that's the thing. I knew it was going to be good going in, or I had a
it's
feeling
actually,
it would be. I didn't know it was going to be that good.
Do you know what it is? It's like, I have my pillow, right? So I'm like this, and the box is like right here. So I'm literally staring into Ellie's face as I sleep. Yeah, I'm like, I love you.
Mr. Hyde, did you have a PS5?
I'm the other end. They'd have to, I don't know, bring me a Ferrari if they want me to buy a digital only console.
Those literally you and Adam against me and Mick.
I love the little boxes. I love the little boxes.
I like having them on the shelf, but
yeah,
I don't.
Absolutely. I mean,
I don't buy them if I have the choice.
I just, I don't know. If I've got a box, I feel like I've got something.
Yeah.
Like, not that I don't think I've ever sold a game, so this argument's a bit moot, I suppose. But like, if I wanted to sell it, I can. I can't sell a code.
No, but like over there, there's a copy of like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 on disc, and didn't they pull that game?
Yeah, isn't it like, Bum Bum?
Yeah, but still, I could play it.
Yeah, I know, but
it's genuinely just off screen.
Yeah,
just
but like,
here. But like, I'm pretty sure didn't they pull that game down? Didn't they actually remove that game? Can you not? You can't buy that digitally now. Am I imagining that? I'm sure they did with Pro Skater 5.
Is that doing people a favor?
But that's not the point I'm making, Ad. You know, I can play that. I remember that game having a bigger patch than the actual disc version of the game was. It was like 7 gig install and then 9 gig
patch.
That was
shocking.
Brutal.
But,
are you getting digital? Are you... That's actually...
It depends on the price. If it's 50 quid cheaper, yep. If it's 100 quid cheaper, definitely.
Yeah.
It won't be 100 quid
cheaper. I don't think I would necessarily say I want the digital version.
I prefer the look of the disc one.
Because what I would hate to do...
I really like the look of the PS5. I'm just going to... Oh, God, it really is going to sound bad, this podcast, isn't it? But I really actually... when I first saw it, I was like, But the longer and more I've seen it, it's like, I fucking really like that. Like, there's a picture of the guy walking out of like, the factory with one, I guess. And I was like, that's massive. I love that. It's huge. These are gaming PCs in Sony boxes and Xbox. They've got to be big. And I'll tell you what, if it makes the PS5 quieter, it can be the size of an actual human, as far as
I'm concerned. As long as it doesn't, my PS4 Pro sounds like a tugboat going by.
That's what I mean.
So, yeah.
Anyway, Chris.
Someone can get it in the living room, you know.
Well, that's just right, yeah. Chris, if you had to stick to one genre for the rest of your gaming days, what genre and why?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Oh, right, okay. There's a few going around in my head.
Give us a couple of them.
The RPG is the first one that comes into my head.
Really?
I know.
That'd be the furthest away on my list, I think.
I know.
Isometric dungeon crawler.
Well, that Mick, I could have answered you.
I don't even need to talk about it.
Diablo or Destiny?
That fucking boring, yeah. Give me a looter. Give me a looter forever.
Loot you. I think we should guess each other's, maybe, but go on, Chris.
Just because, like, obviously, each one could be like, I don't know, 60, 100, however many hours, and you just get invested in the story. I just think I'd get bored later if you make. I wouldn't get bored as quickly if I had that genre, just that genre. And I know I enjoy them.
See, I would because there's a lot of them nowadays, and they don't stand out as much as they used to. But that's fine. So you actually you're going with RPG?
I'll go with that. It's the one I went to first, although I'll probably need to regret it. But yeah, I'll go with that one.
Okay, Mick, we know like looter basically.
Yep. Yeah,
Adam.
Yeah.
The Last was Part Two genre.
Mate,
that's it. Every game that way.
I mean, I tend to go for those games nowadays, like the God of Wars, you know, The Last of Us Part Two, like, you know, upcoming, you got Ghost of Tsushima. That sort of, I tend to go for those.
I love those.
Well, I wouldn't say open world games, but they kind of all sort of are ish.
But then you see, like it's hard. Like, I just love the adventurous stuff, like Zelda and stuff like that. You know, obviously, but it's just hard. Like, if I truly had to stick to one style of game, though, I think it is that kind of Last of Us kind of thing.
I didn't think I'd be the only one to say this. I really thought Adam would say platform games.
It depends. Yeah. Platform is thrown around a lot for games that I'm like, you can't give it that title. Like, some platform games.
The thing is what I'm saying is, by not picking platformers, you are excluding yourself from ever playing a new Mario game ever again.
Of course. Of course.
I can't do that. But I was playing Mario 3D World the other day, and that game's glorious.
Adam, don't worry though, we have Mario Odyssey. It's the best Mario game ever made. So
but you won't be able to play it ever again.
I bought a physical.
No, you can't. That's not how this works.
It does work.
Pretend it's a semi-open world RPG.
Doesn't say in the question.
It kind of is. It's got a big open world. Each level's a big open world. You have to collect stuff.
There's coins to collect and outfits. Yeah. I'm there. I can include that.
It's a loot Mario. A loot platformer. Hey, might cut that bit. That's a loot platformer. Given that Microsoft and Sony previously jumped on the motion bandwagon with Kinect and PlayStation Move, are you surprised that they have ignored the hybrid aspect of Switch with the new consoles? So what this is suggesting is that Nintendo are out there, everyone, they're selling millions, and they've gone the hybrid version. No, not at all.
Sony tried it with the Vita. They sent it out to die. I know it wasn't the same, but it kind of was, because you could use the Vita as a handheld to play your PS4 on, because that's how I used to play Destiny exclusively when I couldn't get to the TV. And, you know, so they've sort of, I don't even think they wouldn't sell a fucking unit, would they, if Xbox tried to do that?
I mean, Xbox are doing that with xCloud. You just don't need the hardware for it. You've already got the hardware.
Mm.
That's true. I mean, I don't know if anyone quite has any thoughts on that, but... No, I'm not surprised.
I think if they'd have announced like a Sony equivalent of a powerful Switch, they'd have been laughed out of town, I think. I feel like I don't know.
Imagine if they called it that as well. The PlayStation Switch.
The Sony Switch.
That'd be amazing.
I don't see why they couldn't. Yeah, I don't think you can copyright. I don't think that word Switch is copyright, and it is the Nintendo Switch. That would be amazing. And the Xbox Switch as well.
Stadia Switch off.
This is going to be an interesting one, because I can't tell my story here. What is the biggest playground whopper you have ever heard? He said, Thomas is from Thomas again. I was at school with a guy who consistently maintained his dad knew Hulk Hogan.
I've got a couple of these, actually. Not necessarily school, but I know some grade A bullshitters. Some really good ones.
Mine are very rude, so I'm going to try and think if I can... You talk, Mick, and I'm going to think if there's a way I can tell it without it being follow.
Okay, I used to work with the South African guy, right? I mentioned him actually last week. See, Thiffington.
Getting ready to the mute you, Mick.
Yeah. And he told us once that he wrestled a shark. And he, honest to God, had a scar on his leg.
And that would be the shark bite, obviously.
The guy was a unit, right? This guy I worked with him quite a while.
Wrestle a shark?
And he was a fucking unit. Like he had muscles on his fingers, and he was a lovely guy though. But he was full of shit. And he told us, I used to go surfing in Johannesburg. And apparently, one time he was surfing in Johannesburg and a shark bit his leg. And instead of panicking like a normal person or reacting like a normal person, he instead beat the shark until it swam away in the water. Now, see, there was a guy, I saw a guy in the news recently. Do you see that?
Like, really for a minute there, I thought that was a joint.
No,
for a minute I thought Mick had a joint in his ass.
I never have.
That's the one thing, mate. But
I never have partaken. But no, there's this guy who was in the news recently. I saw it on Twitter. This fella, and he was a big muscular guy, and he wrestled a shark. A shark swung by him, and he fucking caught it by its tail. And have you seen it? Did you see that video? It exists. No. I didn't dream it. It wasn't when I was smoking my labels. He genuinely caught a shark and wrestled this shark. So it probably could have happened, but this guy was adamant back in the day. That's how he got bit. He got bit.
So I'm not sure if he is lying then.
And it was, but the story was essentially that he got bit.
He got bitten and then just like
picked the shark up while bleeding, and to protect the other swimmers,
put it out of the water like that.
Just fucking beat the shark until it couldn't hurt anyone anymore. I don't know whether that was true, but
until it couldn't hurt anyone anymore.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Head of fucking teaching.
Is that why you like Man Eater so much?
Probably, yeah.
Right. I get revenge. Okay. For anyone wanna? Okay.
I'm really struggling with this one. If I'm honest, I'm trying to think of the whoppers. I can't think of anything. Nothing's coming to mind.
I don't think I can tell it, and I don't even know that it's as funny in this day and age. So I'm just gonna have to say I've got a guy who would, let's just say a gentleman I used to frequent. That sounds wrong as well. A guy I used to go out with. No, I used to go drinking with a chap, and
he got there.
Yeah, he had made claims about his sexual proclivity. No, his sexual activity, I would say more. And he got in the car and he told me this really vulgar action he had done, or been part
Telling
of.
Telling me intrigued.
Yeah. And then, like, and I was like, oh.
I'm who dry, fucking I'm driving tell?
And he just tells me, like, you know, oh, yeah, this happened last night. I was like, oh, fucking hell, mate. You really think I'm that kind of man, and I'm not. Then the next week he gets in the car and goes, hey. And by the way, this thing he told me was like for the first time I've done this. So you can probably think where it's going. And he gets in the car literally the week later. We went out for a drink every weekend, and he gets in the car and goes, hey, he never guess what happens for the first time. So he told me that he did this thing for the first time twice, 2 weeks running. It's like, I didn't really believe you the first time, but you're definitely bullshitting if you did it for the first time twice, aren't you? I mean, just fill in the blanks as to what you think it was. Comments below. What do you think it was? This guy told me it was that. And whatever you say it was that.
I have different mates to you. My mates have got no boundaries. My mates have just come in and be like, how are you? I got my brown badge last night.
Just for the record, you don't need to guess anymore, because that is exactly what it was.
This is be stood next
two
to
weeks
him,
running.
And we just go,
yeah, no, I think she was in the car as well at one point when he said that. No, that is... Fucking hell. That is the exact thing he said to me 2 weeks running for the first time. I've just done that, and yeah, a whopper, so to speak.
Yeah,
Jesus. Adam, rescue us before we can get taken off the air.
Watch. You heard these stories on a playground, is this?
Oh, no.
Oh, shit. No, yeah, no,
I did say it wasn't the playground story.
Yeah, no, this was just
so
the
it was
car
like,
I was driving.
You want to take your kids away from that place, I'd say.
No one spoke to me at school at all, so it's just...
Shit, yeah, no, I totally missed the playground. So, like, I was driving.
Going to the actual question, you see, the problem is
fuck,
here...
Mick, really? Both of us went for things that weren't kids.
Yeah, see... Like, I don't go into the playground because I don't have kids, so I don't know. I don't have these stories.
No, but I mean, when you were a kid, though.
No, it doesn't mean you went to visit a playground with kids when you're an adult.
This is when you're a kid.
When you're a kid.
Where are we in this question, Ryan?
My uncle works at Nintendo.
No, just you know the playground fences saying, what did you get up to last night?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think this was about you going to the playground and lying to children?
No! I thought this was you
guys. Oh, that's a great question, though.
Us going to the playground with our kids, sitting there, and then your kids are mingling with other kids, and you can hear their conversation. That's
and then they start talking about sex.
Well, that's what you fucking started saying.
Yeah,
brown badge!
Like, I was at school with a guy who consistently maintained... Oh, he was at school with a guy. Ah, now I get it. No, I've no story.
No, that's a podcast for this week, I think. If you did enjoy this podcast, you can get it early on patreon.com/godisgeek. Go there, you get early videos, early access to everything. We've got our own Discord. We're going to start doing some live streams to Discord soon. Chris and myself, and I don't know if Adam's going to be involved or not, or Chris White, or maybe even Mick, but we're going to start streaming directly to Discord because why not? It's actually works really well.
I'm only streaming The Last of Us.
Astroneer, mate. Come back.
But it's going to be Astroneer. We're going to
I want to go back to Astroneer.
You need to, yeah, because we're like nearly at the end of the game. Like, there is an end to that game, by the way. You carry on. Oh, yeah. Mate, you've missed a lot. This isn't the time for that part.
Thanks for the text.
Hey, fucking thanks for the text. I'll put a screenshot of this as the image for this video of me saying, anyone for Astroneer tonight, every week. Made me angry now, Adam. Patreon.com/GodIsAGeek. That is where you can find early access competitions. We do swag bags, which I've got to get on. Actually, I need to do that very soon. I've been avoiding the post office because I've been avoiding people because I don't want to catch anything. The virus. If you also could subscribe to us on youtube.com/GodIsAGeek, really appreciate that. Especially the thumbs up. Get the old notification bell for this video if you like us. Really helps us. Genuinely, I know people are like, but it actually really, that's exactly the voice they use, by the way. It really does help if you hit the bell button. It helps sort of push the things you like into perhaps other people's feeds, and then they can discover us and we can do cool stuff. Maybe I haven't got any ideas right now, but
they'll come.
We've got loads in the bank. Don't you worry about that.
So many potential jokes, and I'm not going to make any of them. Chris, Adam, Mick, thank you for being here on the podcast. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for
having
me.
Never a chore, apart from when I have to edit out all the horrible things Mick said on this episode.
It was bad. I was naughty this week.
And the thing is I'm not actually going to edit any of that out. So now they're probably wondering.
Well, your answer to that last question was absolutely bait on.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for watching, listening. Generally, thank you for being a part of what we do. We appreciate it. You can send us questions on Twitter @GodIsAGeek. You can email us at podcast@godisageek.com. Any social media, Instagram, Facebook, you can find us @GodIsAGeek. Send us questions. I did have one in a YouTube comment and I've forgotten to answer it, so maybe we'll get to that next week. Thank you very much for watching, listening, or reading, and we'll speak to you in the next podcast, which will be whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.